Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of Holy Half Hour, here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. So how are you tonight? Are you in a happy mood or a bit melancholic? Are you rushed off your feet with busyness or bored stiff with nothing to do? Anyway, you are here and I can promise you a mixture of music and chat to touch you and move you no matter what mood you're in. And by the time we're finished with you, you'll be a lot calmer and more at peace with yourself and the world. Now there's an offer you can't refuse. Our theme tonight is Eloquent Silences. Eloquent silences is a dangerous topic for radio. The golden rule in radio is there must never be silence. Well, the listeners might switch off. They can get silence without having to pay electricity or use up their batteries. True, but I said eloquent silences. But isn't that a contradiction? I don't think so, but hold on and you'll see for yourself. This whole programme was inspired by a couple of lines in a famous Simon and Garfunkel song, The Sound of Silence. It speaks about people talking without listening, and silence like a cancer grows. Well, sit down, relax, and listen for the eloquent silence for yourself.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound. Silence, and in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell. Echoing the wells of silence, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming, and the sign said the words of the prophets. subway walls, the tenement halls, whispered the sounds of silence.
When I was little, there was a local lady, well, more of a gossip really, Mary Pole, and she used to always begin her news broadcasts with the words, "Now I'm saying nothing." Then she would proceed to tell everyone everything. When it comes to gossip, how we wish people would say nothing. The world is full of sound and fury signifying nothing, as Shakespeare said long ago. The world would be a much better place if more people said less, don't you think? Not me, of course, or else you wouldn't have the rest of this programme. There was a man who went on stage, and he just stood there transfixed and silent. He did nothing, and he said absolutely nothing. The audience went through all kinds of thoughts and emotions. At first they thought it was part of his act, for dramatic effect maybe, or maybe he'd forgotten his lines and was paralysed with panic. Then they got impatient, then angry, then abusive towards him. He was the talking point of the whole night's entertainment. They told folk about this strange man who came on stage and said nothing. When he did the same thing for several nights, people started inviting friends to come and see this freak non-performance for themselves. He drew in ever larger crowds, and he eventually ended up doing his non-act in the London Palladium. It reminds us of the song by Ronan Keaton, "You say it best when you say nothing at all."
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I can never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me wherever I fall. Say it best when you say nothing at all. All day long I can hear people talking out loud. But when you try as they may, they can never define what's been said between your heart and mine. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your says you'll catch me wherever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. The smile on your face lets me know
wherever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all.
Silence often speaks volumes. That's what I mean by eloquent silence. For example, the silent scream of a mother who shoots down a misbehaving child with just a look. Wives can do it too to their husbands, even in a crowded room at a distance. Teachers regain attention not so much by screaming as by stopping and being silent. Then there's the awkward silence in the dentist's waiting room, or the silence which greets the goal scored by the away team, or the silent suspense in a horror film, or the 2-minute silence on Remembrance Sunday. There's an eloquent silence. Or what about the silence in a theatre or a church when you can hear a pin drop? There are all kinds of different eloquent silences. Here are two of the saddest imaginable. Here's Tracy Chapman singing about the sheer sin of singing dumb and not reporting crimes and abuses, not grassing, not for high moral reasons, just for the fear of getting a brick through your window.
Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. And when they arrive, they say they can't interfere with domestic affairs between a man and his wife. And as they walk out the door, the tears well up in her eyes. Last night I heard the screaming, then a silence that chilled my soul. Prayed that I was dreaming when I saw the ambulance in the road. And the policeman said, I'm here to keep the peace. Will the crowd disperse? I think we all could use some sleep. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all.
Here's another song on the same lines. This time, the sad consequences which follow from many people doing nothing in the case of child abuse. This is Martina McBride singing Concrete Angel, the song which made her Country and Western Singer of the Year.
She walks to school with the lunch she packed. Nobody knows what she's holding back. Wearing the same dress she wore yesterday. She has the bruises with her linen and lace. Teacher wonders, but she doesn't ask. It's It's hard to see the pain behind the mask, bearing the burden of a secret storm. Sometimes she wishes she was never born. Through the wind and the rain, she stands hard as a stone in a world that she can't rise above. But her dreams give her wings, and she flies to a place where she's loved. Concrete angel. They turn out the light. A fragile soul caught in the hands of fate. When morning comes, it'll be too late. Through the wind and the rain, she stands hard as a stone in a world that she can't rise above. But her
While we're on a roll of beautiful songs, but with very sad reflections on the cost of silence, here's another one by John Denver, about a couple of people whose relationship was drowning in the ever-widening gulf of silence between them, as they live in two opposite directions. I know of a couple in Stirling who lived together for 30 years without talking to each other. They left notes on the mantelpiece, when absolutely necessary. Or they spoke through a third party. Tell him, tell her. When she was taken to hospital, he faithfully visited her every day without fail. Soon after she died, he died too. The doctor said that he died of hate. He died because he'd been living on hating her, and now he had no one to hate.
They say they love each other, I've no doubt they do. They say they'll always be together, that may not be true. They come from different places, different points of view. They find themselves in different spaces, everything is all brand new. Two different directions, too many different ways. One always on the road somewhere, the other one always stays. Too often unhappy, too often on your moving in different directions. True love is all alone. Old stories start to surface, patterns from long ago. And loving quickly turns to anger for reasons they don't even know. The strongest heart can be broken with one insensitive word. The deepest feelings remain unspoken. No one is seen, nothing heard. Two different directions, many different ways. One always wants to work things out, the other one wants to play. Too ready for changes, too much that just can't wait. When you are moving in different directions, true love can turn to hate. If opposites attract each other, what's the reason for one being like an open window, one just like a closing door? Two different directions, too many different ways. One likes to see the morning sunrise, the other one sleeps in late. Too many tomorrows, too many times too late. When you are moving in different directions, true love may have to wait. If you are committed to different directions, true love will have to wait.
I was reading in the Reader's Digest about a man in America who phoned his fiancée, but she spoke so much he could hardly get a word in. He said to her he would hang up and nip round to see her face to face instead. When he arrived, he found she was still speaking on the phone to him, so he cancelled the wedding there and then. It's estimated that the average family gives only 7 minutes per day to giving each other full undivided attention. Do we really listen to each other? Do you ever feel that there's a great silence between you and God? Is that because you never speak to him? Or is it because he never speaks to you? In the Bible, Job says, "I call to you, O God, but you never answer, and when I pray, you pay no attention." Someone once said, "A person is what they are standing naked in silence before God." There are different kinds of silences. There's a silence of absence and emptiness. For example, in a corpse, or an empty house, or in the feeling, is God not there? Then there's the silence of non-communication. People sending each other to Coventry, as they say. People stop telling each other what they're thinking and feeling. Or if they do, they find that the other person is not listening. Is God here but just not speaking or not listening to us? He said nothing at his trial before Pontius Pilate. Maybe he's being silent in the same way to us. There's the silence of cowardice, shame, and guilt. Jesus looked at Peter, who had denied him 3 times. Peter said nothing. Well, what could he say? Then there's the silence of love. For example, a young romantic couple sitting silently gazing into each other's eyes. It's not a negative silence, it's a positive silence full of eye contact and love. There was a French farm labourer who went into a small roadside chapel to pray for an hour every morning before his work, and for an hour every evening after his work. One day the priest asked him what he did for all those hours, and he replied, "I just look at Jesus, and he just looks at me." Is the silence between us and God perhaps of this variety? The silence of love is closely tied to the silence of awe and wonder and reverence. When I stood gazing into the vast Grand Canyon in America, there was an amazing silence in the canyon. But even more amazing was the power of the silent canyon to shut up every noisy tourist who came along and looked into it. Everyone was reduced, or should I say elevated, to a reverential silence before one of the wonders of the world. There's a reverential silence in a cathedral too, or in the face of a beautiful sunrise or sunset, anywhere or any time we feel that we are in God's presence. If you feel that there's a negative silence in your relationship with God, try taking an imaginative trip back to Calvary Hill to the cross of Jesus. Stand there till you soak in the fact that Jesus loves you enough to die for you, enough to forgive you. Stand there silently, long enough, and the negative silence of absence, non-communication, shame and guilt will turn into the positive silence of love and awe and wonder. Now it's time for me to be silent for another week, but tune in again this time next week to Holy Half Hour on 3TFM, your local radio station. Bye for now.
In the sun.